Inside Florida Politics, powered by Gatehouse Florida. Hello, I'm Zach Anderson, the political editor of the Sarasota Herald Tribune. George Bennett is out this week, so I'm filling in as host. Joining me from Tallahassee is the Gatehouse Capitol correspondent, John Kennedy. Hello, John.
Hello, Zach.
Hey, John, good to have you. So it'll just be me and John this week. And, you know, we're still kind of grappling with the fallout from a busy legislative session as the governor decides which bills to sign. One bill that got his approval recently was a controversial effort to expand toll roads. I spoke with Florida Senate President Bill Galvano about that bill this week. It was his top priority, and there was some thought that it might get vetoed because of environmental concerns, but that was not the case. And with new abortion restrictions making national headlines, I also asked Galvano about some abortion legislation that didn't make it across the finish line this year. Meanwhile, DeSantis and other state leaders are heading off to Israel for a cabinet meeting. John Kennedy will fill us in on the political calculations that might be fueling that trip. But first, I think we hear some royalty-free music. That means it's time for our podcast staple pick a number segment. John Kennedy, do you have a number?
I sure do, Zach. Yeah, you're right. The numbers are few this week, but mine is 330.
330. All right. Remember those, that number. We'll be coming back to that at the end of the show and explain what it means. And I'm going to throw out a 39 this week. That's 39. All right, so let's dive right in. One of the most consequential and controversial bills this session was toll road legislation that paves the way for three new highways, the largest expansion of Florida's highway system since the 1950s. This was Galvano's top priority. He believes the new roads are needed to deal with the state's growth. I caught up with Galvano this week at his law office in Bradenton. Let's hear what he had to say about the bill.
We can't pretend that we are not growing like we are in the state of Florida. We are the 14th largest economy in the world. That in and of itself is a draw. We have 850 people coming here every day to live, not to visit. That's another group in the tens of millions. The 850 every day. That means each year, Zach, we're going to pick up a population equivalent to the size of Orlando coming back. So we cannot pretend that you can just force these folks to the perimeter of the state.
So there you have Galvano saying that these roads are really needed to deal with a huge influx in population. That number that he cited, that the state has been growing at a clip that is basically adding a city the size of Orlando every year. That's a number that's gotten tossed out a lot. He referenced just sort of directing growth towards the perimeter of the state because I had asked him about, well, why not just expand the roads, along the coast? The highways on the west and east coast are often, jam-packed. Why not expand those and allow to accommodate more growth in those dense areas? That's a criticism that environmentalists have lobbed. You know, they think that we should really focus on our existing roadways and populated areas. Galvano wants to see some growth in the center of the state. And he thinks that, the center of the state, one of these highways would go from sort of the Lakeland area down to the Naples area through counties like Highlands County. He thinks those areas have been overlooked and that you could encourage economic development while also, alleviating the traffic on existing highways. But environmentalists really loathed this bill. They said it would lead to just massive sprawl, and it was one of the worst bills for Florida's environment in decades. I asked Galvano about those criticisms. Here's what he had to say.
A lot of the criticisms that were out there were inconsistent with the approach the bill was taking. For example, the task force, the input from local communities, the very specific requirement that environmental groups be included in the discussion, public hearings, all factors that would make it the product the most effective and efficient and environmentally sensitive product, including utilization of existing right-of-ways where possible and things of that nature.
So that's Galvano arguing that people really haven't read the bill, and that if they had read it, they would see that there's all sorts of environmental safeguards in there and that it will be done in a very environmentally sensitive manner. Environmentalists just aren't buying it. They don't believe that you can really put these massive highways in an environmentally sensitive manner. And they're not necessarily concerned about the roads so much as what the roads will bring. You know, wherever you put a road, you tend to get communities that spring up, businesses, homes, and that leads to environmental impacts. So the environmentalists led a major push this year to get DeSantis to veto the bill. The governor has sort of styled himself as a green governor. He's really pushed to try and improve Florida's water quality after we had just some devastating algae blooms last year. But DeSantis ended up siding with Galvano over environmentalists and signed the toll road legislation into law a few days ago. John Kennedy, did DeSantis risk his environmental credentials by backing Galvano on these road projects?
Well, I think he did. And, you got to remember that around the time that the legislative session began, we can remember a Quinnipiac University poll showed DeSantis with a 59% approval rating among Floridians. That was the highest for a Florida governor in 10 years. But at least some of that was on the strength of his early commitment to spend more than $600 million on environmental cleanup this year. Now, in the end, the legislature agreed to spend even more. They're coming in at close to $700 million. So DeSantis has no problem, claiming victory there. But I think many environmentalists think that he's undermined that commitment with the road building bill, which will bring highway development to rural areas, possibly threaten some spring sheds and river areas. On the roads, he seemed to just, bend to the state's business interests that really want this. It's funny, he had environmentalists pretty excited just days before he signed that bill because he had vetoed another piece of legislation that conservationists hate that would have prohibited local governments from banning plastic straws. That was a small Save the Earth step that still irked big restaurant chains that didn't want to deal with the local regulations. But in the end, DeSantis said he supported local decision-making. But, the environmentalists are worried that at that time that the veto may have been just a fig leaf to give him some green cover, even as he planned to sign the toll roads bill. And in the end, maybe that's what it was. But these road projects are going to hang around DeSantis for his term in office. Maybe he'll get to do the ribbon cutting, because the law requires that the construction start in 2022. Then if he gets a second term, he'll be able to watch the asphalt roll out around the state. But I think, the move seemed to somewhat belie his view of the plastic straws, where it was sort of like, let the locals decide. In this case, there was a lot of at least local ambivalence, if not outright pushback. And from environmentalists and from growth management advocates, there was a strong pushback that DeSantis didn't seem to go along with.
Yeah, I think you're right, John. I think this will stick with him. The environment has really been DeSantis's signature issue. He talked about it a lot on the campaign trail and really has made it a focus of his campaign. And I could see him running for re-election on the issue. And I think this will be an asterisk for him because environmentalists are saying that this is one of the worst bills you could possibly do, for natural areas, and that development is a big reason why we have the water quality problems that DeSantis has been fighting. One of the big reasons is, you take away the natural areas and you put homes and businesses and things on there, and then you get all kinds of runoff. You get fertilizer runoff and things like that from people's yards, and that really contributes to water quality issues. So environmentalists were saying that this really undermines his water quality push if you're going to have all this additional runoff from this new growth that these roads will bring. So we'll see how he continues to defend this position going forward. But the state is growing and it is one of those issues where you got to plan for it and get the proper infrastructure in place. Well, I asked Galvano about a ton of other issues, but one that I want to highlight is abortion, because that's been a hot topic over the last few days as Alabama, Georgia, Missouri, and other states approve really restrictive abortion laws. These state laws are designed to challenge Roe v. Wade, the landmark Supreme Court ruling that established a constitutional right to an abortion. Conservatives think that a new Supreme Court is poised to overturn Roe or at least chip away at it. And so conservative state lawmakers are really advancing these proposals that they hope will make it to the Supreme Court on appeal and give the court an opportunity to have a crack at Roe. Florida is not one of those states, though, despite GOP majorities in both the House and the Senate and a Republican governor. All these lawmakers talk about being pro-life, and there were a number of anti-abortion bills filed in the Florida legislature this year, including a bill that would outlaw abortions after a fetal heartbeat can be detected, which is generally around 6 weeks. Similar heartbeat bills have passed in other states. There also was a bill that would outlaw abortions after about 20 weeks, which is when some argue that fetuses can start to feel pain. That was called the fetal pain bill. The current standard for abortions is around 24 weeks. After that, they're generally illegal. So both of those bills would move up the time period after which you couldn't have an abortion. But neither of them advanced. The abortion bill that got the most attention in the Florida legislature this year was one that would require minors to get parental consent to have the procedure performed. That advanced in the House, but not in the Senate. And I asked Galvano why.
Yeah, I think, look, part of the process of empowering the members is to let these issues develop organically through the process. And that's, you know, they are, I'm sure will be back again next year, and the proponents will have to work it with the members, right. And we'll see where they go from there. I myself am pro-life,
right?
And you know, and but these are not easy,
right?
Easy bills, and it's not just that's. That's not the question at the heart of it. It's like, where is the line drawn? What are the applications? Right. And you know, the Senate is a deliberative body, and it's not often that legislation makes it through in just a session.
John Kennedy, were you surprised that the Florida legislature took a pass on abortion legislation this year?
Well, I was. It seemed that there would be possibly some level of momentum for some kind of action. I know John Stemberger of the Florida Family Policy Council, which is one of the leading advocates of more abortion restriction, he blasted the legislature toward the end of the session because he told me that it left Florida, quote, the only conservative state in the country not to pass pro-life legislation. Now, the parental consent law, that would have required minors to get notarized consent from their parents or from a court before getting an abortion. That did, as you mentioned, clear the House overwhelmingly, but never advanced in the Senate. The legislation would have likely conflicted with a state Supreme Court ruling that allows parental notice, but not permission. Conservatives, though, were looking to bring a challenge at least to the state Supreme Court, which is now almost half filled with conservative justices that DeSantis appointed just in January. The fetal heartbeat bill that was introduced but never got a hearing in either the House or the Senate. All told, you know, maybe purple state Florida is not as conservative as a lot of places that right now are advancing these stricter abortion bills. And it makes you wonder going forward whether these measures would have had will come back next year when election year politics is really on the minds of lawmakers. So it's the kind of stuff that can rally both sides. And that's an uncertainty that those looking to hold on to power, which are Republicans in this state, they rarely like going into an election to have that kind of, wild card that's out there. So, this may have been the year for any kind of stricter abortion bills to advance in Florida, but they never really got off the starting line.
John, you mentioned Florida is a purple state, and I wonder if that played a role in some of this. You know, Alabama, Georgia, even Missouri is pretty conservative now. And you know, they're not really, swing states. And I wonder if lawmakers might have been concerned about firing up the other side heading into the 2020 election. You know, Florida is a state that Trump must win. He's got to win that if he wants to win re-election. And, you know, if you totally ban abortions in Florida or ban them after 6 weeks, does that fire up, you know, young women, suburban women, people who maybe are, swing voters a little bit? And what do you think? I mean, do you think that there's a sense that, I mean, when I was talking to Galvano, he seemed to think like these more extreme laws, he seemed kind of leery of them. I was like, well, are you going to bring this back next year? And he's like, I'm sure it'll come up next year, but and he supports the parental consent law, which is sort of a more modest restriction than others. But he seemed pretty leery of like the heartbeat bill or the fetal pain bill, which would really start to make it much more difficult for people to get abortions. He didn't seem like he was all that gung-ho about pushing through a really, really strict abortion bill next year. Do you think that there's some politics there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Some of it is the politics of the Florida Senate, where you have senators who get elected from obviously larger districts than those in the House. So each one of those senators is kind of watching out for his own constituency and his own voter base, which can vary even in these pretty, heavily Republican districts. It can go from, conservative rural areas to include some not so conservative suburban areas. So the Senate is a strange mix and kind of a hard sell on some of these real staunch conservative social issues. And that's where I think, as you mentioned, things like fetal heartbeat, that's kind of getting out there when it comes to trying to make a step that's going to wind up in the United States Supreme Court, a Florida case, aimed at overturning Roe versus Wade. That just doesn't seem like the type of thing that the Florida Senate would endorse. And as I mentioned, I think going into next year when there's an election year, really just months away, I think that makes it even less likely that you would see any kind of, dramatic attempt at trying to, get to the U.S. Supreme Court with a Roe versus Wade challenge. Meanwhile, it looks like other states are going to fulfill that that goal for social conservatives around the country. So maybe Florida can sit back and let somebody else take the lead.
Yeah, some really interesting political dynamics here. So no abortion legislation passed, but a bill that did make it across the finish line this year is legislation aimed at cracking down on anti-Semitism. At the same time, we have DeSantis and the Florida cabinet heading to Israel to conduct a cabinet meeting in just a few days. They're going to be gone for about a week. There's been some speculation that both of these developments are aimed at courting Jewish voters for the 2020 election and beyond. John Kennedy, you're doing some reporting on this. Does it seem like the GOP is making a play for the Jewish vote? And how significant is that vote in Florida?
Yeah, this is something, from the White House on down, that Republicans are fighting hard to peel Jewish voters away from the Democratic Party nationally and particularly in Florida. And DeSantis, while leading this business development delegation to Israel this week, they're also going to have some history in the making where DeSantis and the Florida cabinet will hold its official meeting at the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. Now, this is the latest in a series of steps by DeSantis that seem to be designed to woo Jewish voters and to shape next year's presidential contest in Florida, which, the nation's biggest swing state. DeSantis drew unprecedented support from Jewish voters in winning the governor's race last year, and he appears intent on trying to shift that backing to President Trump, who really badly needs to repeat his 2016 victory in Florida if he wants to retain the White House. Now DeSantis got 35% of the Jewish vote in Florida, according to most exit polls, and that was about 7% more than Trump did in 2016. DeSantis also earlier this year. This is sort of the latest in a series of small steps by DeSantis. He had pushed the cabinet to call for sanctions against Airbnb, which ultimately resulted in the company reversing its policy to delist Israeli-owned homes in the West Bank because of safety concerns. And DeSantis is expected in Israel now to sign into law legislation that was approved this spring that adds anti-Semitic statements or actions to the list of what's banned as discrimination in Florida's public schools. So, even the private school voucher legislation, that new family empowerment scholarship, has support from some, especially in the Orthodox community, who are seeking to finance private schools. DeSantis has supporters of the new family empowerment scholarships. He has some backers of that with him on this trip to Israel as well, along with leaders of the Jewish Republican Coalition, which has said it plans to spend $10 million on moving Jewish Democrats to Republican. And a big chunk of that effort is going to wind up in Florida. So the White House, successfully moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem last May. So the DeSantis timing of this trip is important. It's a year from that event. But it also shows that, that kind of synergy between Trump and DeSantis on this reach out to Jewish voters. Now, remember, Trump won Florida by just over 100,000 votes over Hillary Clinton out of more than 9 million cast. That was a 1.2% margin of victory. So any decline in Jewish support for the Democratic candidate next year, that could be pretty significant.
Yeah, and it's interesting, the anti-Semitism bill was carried by Senator Joe Gruters, who is from the Sarasota area, and he's the head of the Republican Party of Florida. So you have the Florida GOP chair, pushing this. You have the Florida governor pushing this. As you said, it's sort of an all-out full-court press from the White House on down to the governor and the chair of the GOP in Florida to really make a strong play for the Jewish vote in this state. And you noted that Trump won by around 100,000 votes, but DeSantis only won, by just over 30,000 votes, and Rick Scott only won his U.S. Senate race by just over 10,000 votes. So if Trump's, if the margin is closer to what we saw in those 2018 races with DeSantis and Scott, a few thousand, Jewish voters that come over to the Republican side really could make a difference. So it's a really interesting dynamic that's shaping up with that segment of the electorate. Well, we're going to wrap up here with our pick a number segment. John, I'm going to let you go first. You have 330. You want to explain what that means?
Yeah, 330. We were talking about this a little while ago. Just that's the number of new miles of highway that Governor DeSantis cleared the way for being built with his signing of Galvano's big highway bill. That legislation is going to add 150 miles to the Suncoast Parkway, which now is only about a 60-mile road, but this idea would bring it all the way to the Georgia line from the Tampa Bay area. The Lakeland to Naples Road, that's another 150 miles, and the extension of Florida's Turnpike from Wildwood to the extended Suncoast Parkway, that's another 30 miles. So, and all of it is toll road, something that the governor had earlier said he had some issues with. The idea of, he thinks that Floridians are spending enough already just getting around the state for work, school, and, basically daily life. But somehow he said yes to these roads. The 330 miles, that's a lot of asphalt, and it's basically the distance from Miami to Jacksonville, if that gives you any perspective on it. So no wonder that the Asphalt Contractors Association was one of the big proponents of the projects, which, as we've said, have been blasted by environmentalists and group growth management experts, but throughout have been pushed by the road building industry and the state's Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, and I don't think this is the last we're going to hear about this. I think that environmentalists are going to be pressing this at every turn to try and see if they can derail it somehow. But with DeSantis signing off on it and Galvano, Senate president, again next year, it seems like this is pretty locked in, at least in the short term. So lots of new road mileage coming. Well, my number is 39. That's from a new survey from Florida Atlantic University. That's the percentage that Joe Biden gets in the Democratic primary in Florida. Far and away, he continues to be the leader in the early race for the Democratic nomination, very, very early in the race, but nobody is even close to him. Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are at 12% in the FAU poll. They're tied for second place. Mayor Pete, mayor of South Bend, Indiana, is in third at 9%. U.S. Senator Kamala Harris is in fourth at 7%. So, most of the candidates not even breaking out of the single digits. Biden is three times more support than the next closest candidate. But the pollsters note that we're still 10 months to go here. So a lot can change in those 10 months, and a lot certainly will change over those 10 months. Well, that wraps up another Inside Florida Politics podcast. I want to thank our audio production team of Thomas Cordy, Joseph Corzano, and Adam Fish. And I want to thank all of you for listening. We're out of here.